You are now listening to the Unshakable Health Podcast with Dr. Thomas Hemingway.
All right, another week and just about another month is in the wraps. We are days away from April. Like, holy moly, it is an amazing, amazing time. It's Easter weekend. I hope you guys are doing amazing. I hope you are just having a fabulous Easter weekend, that you had a great Good Friday yesterday, and that you are thriving and not just surviving your life. And if you're not, hey, you're in the right place, because I know there are days where I am just surviving. I know how it is. I have been there. I'm still there some days. And so I feel you. You're in the right place. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of the show. So grateful for each and every one of you that are taking the time in your very busy lives to be able to be here with us, learning and loving and growing and just optimizing your health and your life. I am coming at you from Hawaii Nei today, and I'm just feeling so grateful. It's been, I'm not going to lie, it's been kind of a rough week, and we'll get into that in just a moment. And because of what's been happening, I decided to completely change the the menu, if you will, right? The menu for this week's podcast, because I just really feel like what I'm going to share about is powerful, powerful stuff. It's been life-changing for me, many others. And if you look at the data, one of the most powerful tools that you have in your toolbox, each and every one of us have it, and we can flex it, build it, increase it like a muscle. We can pay attention to it, focus on it, and it's easy and it's free. So we're going to get into that in just a second. And before I do that, just once again, I wanted to just say thank you to all you folks who have dropped a review over there on Apple on this, the Unshakable Health Podcast, because I just read each and every one of those. I love, love, love to be able to have the opportunity to see what you're loving, what you're learning. And I'm just grateful for you. So if you haven't done that already, please go ahead and do that over there on Apple. It's so, so easy. If you're over there on YouTube, this is what it looks like. Well, you guys know what it looks like. Unshakable Health. And you just scroll to the bottom and there's a little 5 stars there. Click on the one farthest to the right. So easy to do. And I just read them all. In fact, Liam dropped me a review. He says 5 stars. Dr. Hemingway is full of life and loving energy. He's always got an awesome gift for explaining, educating the public on how to take charge of their own health and do so easily and efficiently, breaking it down to make it easy to follow, always providing fact-checked information and starting with his sources so that you can be sure what he shares is proven. So thank you. Thank you so much, Liam. I appreciate you. Appreciate all of you who have dropped a review over there on Apple, or if you've rated and reviewed me on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast, please, 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 please do this. I see that. I recognize it. I'm grateful for it. And if you haven't also rated or reviewed my book over there on Amazon, it's there. It's available for you even today. And many of you know, crazy, crazy stuff. It was taken down from Amazon a while back and it was gone, like gonzo completely. I guess Amazon wasn't ready for powerful health pearls that could be learned, gleaned, utilized for free. Like, legit, these are all tools that each and every one of us can do and utilize. They don't cost anything. The 5 powerful practices that will help you to avoid disease and build unshakable health. That's the title of my book, Preventable. Ah, and I'm so grateful to have that out there. Present day. In fact, I'm over there right now on Amazon taking a look because I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful that you got me to redo this book because many of you know I lost the entire 800 some odd page transcript, like legit lost it. And it was crazy. It was crazy. And I rewrote it thinking of each and every one of you. And I'm going to share a quick review I got. It just says Amazon customer, verified purchase, 5 stars, awesome book, exclamation point. Well worth the read. Tons of knowledge packed in this book. Highly recommend. So thank you, Amazon customer, for that awesome review. Please drop a review there on Amazon because it helps move the needle, helps this powerful stuff to get into the hands of more people. So today I wanted to share with you, without further ado, one of my favorite topics, one that I've struggled with from time to time in my life, but has been among the most powerful tools that has helped me to improve, mejorar, as we say in Spanish, improve my life, my quality of each and every day of my life so that I can thrive and not simply survive life. And this came to mind this past week because, as I shared with you last week, some rough stuff, some just crazy, crazy news has happened recently. A great friend of mine, I consider him family, died suddenly and unexpectedly at 53 years of age. So just a couple of years older than I, went to bed and didn't wake up the next day and had a massive heart attack, major blood vessel blockage in his coronary artery, and nobody knew. And I'm still kind of coming to grips with this. And what I shared last week, which actually I'm so appreciative of, I've been rereading that book called, as you know, The Gap and the Gain, and such a cool book. If you haven't read it yet, Benjamin Hardy, got to grab that book. Cool book. But it talks about this routine that we can do to help pump us up and get us fired up and get us in a great place, not only to have an amazing sleep each and every evening, but to get us fired up for an amazing new day the next day. This three-step process, it's so simple, right? You write down three wins for your day. That's it. Three wins of your present day right before bed. Do a little journaling, right? Whether it be an exact, you know, gratitude journal that you have, or for me, it's just a regular journal. In fact, if you probably can't see this, but you got the screen a little blurred out, but here's my just super basic black cover journal that I use. And it's not specifically a gratitude journal, but I use it each and every night. And I write my three wins. In fact, one of the reasons I'm podcasting for you today on the the day before Easter Saturday, if you will, is because I didn't want to let another day go by without reaching out to you, without sharing what's powerful in my life. And one of my three wins. Well, this is how this goes. Okay. You do three wins for today, present day, write it down in your gratitude journal, your regular journal before bed at night. And then you forecast or you write down your three wins for tomorrow, the three kind of top tier, top ticket items, most important items that you really need to done. Not necessarily always the most urgent items, but the most important items, most powerful items that you want to get done, three things that you want to do that are powerful, that will move the needle in your life for tomorrow. And I got my journal right out here. And one of my top three that I was going to do tomorrow, which is now today, Saturday, was right here, podcast on this topic that I'm about to introduce to you. That was one of my three things that I wanted to share with you today. And that's why I'm doing it, even though it's Saturday, the day before Easter. It's kind of hectic when you got a house full of six kids and you're preparing for Easter, a lot going on. But I wanted to take this time to share it with you because of something I have really been focusing on and learning and have been utilizing in my life to help me get through these tumultuous times with the recent news of my friend who passed unexpectedly. And also, one of my immediate family members was diagnosed with something life-changing and difficult and challenging this past week as well. And I'm just working through that. And what I'm going to share with you today is what is helping me, still helping, and what I'm trying to focus on doing each and every day. So, excuse me. Just getting fired up. So here's the thing. This week, high ticket, high level, I'm going to share with you what has now become my two favorite vitamins. And they go hand in hand. And first and foremost, it's vitamin C, not ascorbic acid and not SEA like the ocean. I often love to, that's one of my favorite vitamins, hands down, vitamin C for SEA for the ocean. And being in there is so therapeutic, and being home here right now in Hawaii'i and getting in the ocean each and every day for that grounding, that connection with my environment, so darn important. That's vitamin SEA, vitamin C, and also the vitamin C that you've heard of, ascorbic acid, that I love to get from camu camu berry, and fresh fruits. Here in Hawaii, it's mango, it's papaya. Those are my two favorites. A little bit of pineapple here and there, banana. Any fresh fruit has the potential to have vitamin C, but the citrus are my favorites. Those strong berries are super amazing. But I'm not talking about that today. Today, I'm talking about vitamin C, as in C for connection. Connection, the connection that we do with others. They can be our favorite people right at home, our family members, our friends, or even our favorite canine or feline friends. Our pets can actually enhance this very powerful vitamin, this vitamin C, if you will, my Dr. Hemingway's favorite vitamin C for connection. In fact, what's been interesting is in the last 2 decades, and even more recently, I would say the last 10 years, we've had lots of data come out on this power of connection, the power of having healthy relationships. And this is not something that's new, right? This is something we've known about for 100 years. Heck, Maslow wrote his hierarchy of needs about 80 years ago or so, where he talks about that important feature, right? Once you have your basic physiological needs like food and shelter, well, guess what comes right after that? Literally, right after food and shelter comes this connection. And he described it, let me see if I can find the exact words that he used to describe it, but he described it back then, Abraham Maslow, in his book, Motivation and Personality. He described it as love and belongingness, love and belongingness. And that was number three in his sort of tiered process for health and for happiness, really. So the first were the physiological needs, right? Basic food, water, right? Second was shelter. So once you have your food and your water and shelter, like right now today, it's been raining like crazy. My kids and I got up at like 6. It was dark. The sunrise doesn't even happen over here in Hawaii till like 6:30, coming up on 7. We got out there in the dark, checking the waves, and it was pouring rain. And I was like, dang, it would really not be awesome to not have some kind of shelter. In fact, we were checking the waves and we didn't have a raincoat because, in Hawaii, it's like 75, 80 degrees all the time. And you don't really feel the need to have a raincoat or even an umbrella for that matter, because the weather changes so quickly. The saying we love to share is, if you don't like the weather, you don't like that rain, just wait 5 minutes and literally the sun will pop out. There'll be a rainbow, or maybe even a double. Or 2 days ago, I saw a triple rainbow. Like, amazing, amazing stuff. That just doesn't happen every day. But when you see it, you love it. I actually wrote that as one of my wins for the day, because I don't see that many triple rainbows. Doubles are fairly common in Hawaii, but triples, not so much. So that was something I'm still just relishing, that beauty. But Maslow said it. He published the book Motivation, Personality, and Personality, 1954. And he says the number one needs are first physiologic, that's food and water, second, shelter, and then third is this connection, the love and belongingness. And then it's esteem, how you feel about yourself, and then the self-actualization, you actually being able to apply those things to do stuff and have impact on the world. So cool stuff. There's another couple of folks, Ryan and Desi, who described that their basic three needs, and they, instead of the five like Maslow, they came up with three basic needs, and this is the three that they came up with. Number one is autonomy, right? Our free will, our agency to be able to do stuff, to have the control over our lives, to be able to interact and make choices, right? We don't necessarily have control over everything, but we have control over ourselves and what's in here between our ears, right? How we relate to what's going on, our interpretation, the meaning that we attach to something, because that's very powerful and that's within our control. That's our autonomy. Number two was competence. And number three was relatedness. So between Maslow and Edward Deci and Richard Ryan, this need, this human need for, as they describe it, either relatedness, or as Maslow described it, as the love and belongingness, this connection, it's been a thing for a long, long time. It's been a thing for a long, long time. And in recent days, we've actually learned that having And it's not necessarily the number of relationships. You all know, back, rewind the clock a little bit. We're all in high school and it was like popularity was this big thing, and who has the most friends and this and that. It's not quantity of relationships, actually. It's not quantity at all. In fact, it's just the quality. You don't even have to have a lot of great, great friends, just a couple. You really only need a couple. You probably heard the famous saying in the personal development world that your life is most affected by the five closest friends, the five people that you surround your life with. It can be your own family members. For me, right now, today, I have seven of my favorite people surrounding me today in my home, right? This is my wife, my beautiful wife, who is amazing. She is my rock and my support and all the things for the last 26 plus years of marriage. And then we got six kids, and they right now are all under our roof this week, and we are feeling grateful. We actually got two that are graduating from college this year, one coming up here in May, just about a month away, and then the other in the fall. So two of our oldest will be graduated from college this year, but we are all home together this week, and we're home a lot together. And those seven people are my favorite people. I love connecting and spending time with them. And what's cool is it's not the number of people or relationships, it's the quality. So just having one or two or three people that you can connect with, that you can share with, that you can relate with, can make all of the difference. And what happens, this has been shown in lots of data, not only is it just more enjoyable, right? You just have a better quality of life when you have relationships, people to share with, people to interact with, people to do things together with, to have mission or purpose, the ikigai that I've talked about many times over the years, that is your passion, what you're driven to do, having mission. When you have people that you work with or do things with, whether it be family, friends, maybe it's your church group, maybe it's your social club, Lions Club. There's actually a local Lions Club here. I just drove by the sign and got me excited. I'm like, I love to see people getting together and doing good, whatever that group may be, whether it be a social club like the Lions Club, Kiwanis Club, your church group, whatever that is. These connections have been shown to increase your health and your life, your just enjoyment of day-to-day life. They've been shown to decrease mental health challenges, decrease anxiety, decrease depression. They've been shown to improve, obviously, your self-esteem. And even your immune system. Like, who knew you could strengthen your immune system and even potentially help with devastating conditions like cancer, heart disease? These kinds of things tend to get better with social connections, with that vitamin C for connection. And at the end of the day, they just make life more pleasant. You can live better, live longer, live fuller, like literally just enjoy the day to day. Like, who wants to get up and dread their day? I've been there. I've definitely armed to the square here. I'm showing you folks on YouTube. I've had days where I just have dreaded getting up and doing the drill, just doing the 9 to 5 proverbially. My work days are usually a 12-hour work day, but they're busy, they're long, they're hard, and sometimes monotonous, and sometimes it's just draining, exhausting. And there were days where I didn't love getting up for that. And I just wasn't in a great place here between my ears. And that was a big part of it, because I was still doing things that were helping people, literally helping to change lives, help people in a desperate situation, being in the emergency room or whatever that case was. I was there and I was helping, but I just didn't have the right frame of mind to necessarily appreciate that each and every day. And interestingly enough, when you have these connections and this quality of life through your relationships, the quality of your relationships, you have less heart disease, you have less cancer. And on the day to day, you sleep better at night. You literally sleep better at night. It's amazing. You have a lower risk also of dementia. You know what we're now calling type 3 diabetes, this just devastating disease that is taking people's minds and causing them to die sooner and to be out and not connected. This dementia has actually improved, and I should say decreased in its incidence and its happenings when we have this power of connection. It's crazy. The most common diseases that we know of today, we know this, and I've shared about it in my book, Preventable. I talk about it often. 7 out of 10 of the leading causes of death worldwide are almost entirely preventable. These are things like heart disease, stroke, cancer. Those are kind of the big three across the world, and they are significantly, yes, significantly diminished by the power of vitamin C. Or connection. Let me share with you a personal story. I have an uncle, Steve, who is such a cool dude. He lives in Hawaii. He is just the guy that you want to be around. Anytime you see him, you just want to give him a hug. He just exudes joy. He is one of these people that is always pleasant. He's cheerful. He's jovial. He hasn't always had the best health. In fact, he was dealt kind of a not a very good hand. If you're playing cards, like he was not going to be the winner with his deck. He was dealt a kind of crappy deck. In fact, his father, he's of Portuguese descent. His father died in his 40s of heart disease. In his 40s, like my friend just died early 50s, which is way too young, especially in 2024. But his father died in his 40s of blood clots and related to heart disease. And he, my Uncle Steve, has struggled with this genetic predisposition to blood clots. And he's had many blood clots in his legs, and he's been on high potency blood thinners, even that rat poison that you guys have all heard about that they put folks on, the warfarin or Coumadin. He's been on all the things. And what's been even more helpful than modern day advances, if you will, is I feel like this connectedness, this vitamin C that he has and he exudes each and every day. Now he is in his mid 80s. He's literally doubled the lifespan of his very own father. And I believe, largely, besides the advent of a couple of blood thinners, which I think have helped him somewhat in his case, his ability to live each day with, as Tony Robbins says, with passion and with purpose and with, I would say, connectedness. Connectedness is how I would describe him. I love going over to see him in Oahu. He is always just jovial. He's happy. He's smiling. I called him up on his 80th birthday a couple of years ago, and I was actually calling him from his home country. I was in Portugal, and I was just thinking of him. I'm like, hey, I would love to just quick reach out to Uncle Steve. And I gave him a quick call, and I couldn't see him. This wasn't on Zoom. This is just like old school phone call, but I could just literally picture his smile from ear to ear, his jovialness, his good nature. We laughed, we vala vala'au, as we say in Hawaii, or talked story a little bit. And he was just so grateful and appreciative for that quick phone call. And I really believe that to this day, he is still with us, and I'm so grateful for that because he's positively impacted so many lives in his 80 plus years of existence, basically doubling that lifespan of his father because of his connectedness, his connection, and his nature, this vitamin C, this connectedness that he exudes, that he shares. It's just been an amazing thing for me to be a part of and to participate in. And makes me smile just thinking about it. So if you're listening, Uncle Steve, aloha from Dr. Thomas here, from Thomas, your nephew. I just love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for sharing your light with the world. Another person who I've met just over the last year, Leah Valencia Key. If you don't know her, you gotta reach out to her on social. Tell her I said to follow her. Good old Dr. Thomas Hemingway. I got a chance to spend a couple of days with her in January of this past year in San Antonio, Texas, and she was a light each and every day. She was the MC of my wife's amazing Align Breakthrough event that was just powerful. Jamie Kern Lima, her best friend, was also there. She spoke. She was also powerful. And Leah was just joy. I would describe her as exuding joy. I mean, she is bright as a light, and you just see her smile. You could go follow her on social media. Leah, LIA Valencia Key. It's just an amazing gal, so full of light. She is my role model. Like, I try to, if I'm having a down day, I just think about this beautiful yellow dress that she might be wearing, or a yellow shirt, or a yellow bun in her hair, or whatever. She almost always wears yellow because I think it's just, that's how she's feeling. And if she wakes up not for that brief moment, she snaps right back into her joyous self because she knows that that will make her day better and yours too. That's a cool thing. And this is something that I was reminded of. I shared a little bit last week as I'm reading that book again, The Gap and the Gain, that we all have tough days. And I think in his book, he says, give yourself maybe 5 minutes to sulk or something like that. Maybe it was less than that. I can't recall, but we all got to feel down sometimes. But then we got to snap out of it, get out of the so-called gap and into the gain, right? Everything happens for us and not to us. It's really how we look at it. And although, as you see on YouTube here, my glass of water, my glass in my mind is always half full, but it's not just that. You have to consider everything that happens in your life a gain for you, how you can be better and do better and give more and be more because of your experience. The blessing of what's here between our ears is we get to decide what the meaning of each and every experience is. Even if you've had some really tremendously challenging things that have happened in your past, you can rewrite not the events that occur, but you can rewrite the meaning that you attach to those experiences. You literally get to rewrite that meaning. You are the only one that can give those experiences a meaning. And if you need to know more how to do that, you got to read the book, The Gap and the Gain. It's been incredible. Ah, I'm so grateful it came again. As I'm rereading it, and we just finished it this week. We have a book club tomorrow to discuss our final thoughts with all my kids because we're reading it together as a family, super fun. But I was reminded of these powerful principles that we have the ability to rewrite our history basically by interpreting our past and giving it meaning that is powerful, meaning that we can grow from, meaning that we can be positive about, we can be better people because of our experiences. We get to decide that. Nobody can take that from us. And if you don't believe me, look at those that have survived some amazing things, like Viktor Frankl, for example, Holocaust survivor. Read his book. I mean, there's amazing, amazing stuff. I mean, examples of people that are doing this and thriving all of the time around us. Even in that book, The Gap and the Gain, there's some amazing examples. Folks that, a couple that lost their little child and things like that, and they just refused to let that drag them down. They decided to make that meaningful in a good way, that they would remember him by being the best kind of people that they could be and by cherishing each and every relationship that they had. And in fact, this is kind of a, I wasn't planning to share this, but off the topic a little bit, this particular family Benjamin Hardy mentions, they moved out to Hawaii, right? Who wouldn't want to move to Hawaii, right? It's an amazing place. But they decided after their child's passing that they would focus so much more than ever before, on their relationships, primarily their familial, their family relationships. And so when they can considered all of the things that they were going to have to decide, things that they needed to do, they always would ask themselves the question is, how will this affect my family? If it's something that ultimately will improve my family relationships, help me draw nearer to my family, sign me up, I'm going to do it. And if it's going to take me away from my family significantly or detract from my family relationships, maybe I'm going to say no to that thing. And this was an amazing example of how this family not just coped, but how they decided to thrive in their lives despite the loss of a young child. It's just, I can't even do the story justice. You got to read the book, The Gap and the Gain, but it's just miraculous stuff. And I wanted to share with you because I'm the doctor, right? I love the brain, the physiology, what's happening in the body. I'm just going to share with you briefly what's going on. And you guys probably have heard this from me. We know that there's a basic need for connection, as Maslow described. It's the third on his list. And the other pair that wrote the other book, it's literally the third out of three top human needs, the connectedness. And we were born, literally born, to connect with people. From the first time that we open our mouths, right at birth, we usually cry or scream or yell. In fact, in the doctor world, we have these things called Apgar scores, which is kind of like how exuberant you look, how full of life you look when you're born, right? You want to have good color. You want to have good tone. You know, you don't want to be floppy. You want to have a good, strong cry and be able to open up your airways and breathe well. And so when you first pop out of the womb, if you will, you're first born, we rate your score. It's called the Apgar score, right when you first come out. And then again at 5 minutes. And we love a baby that comes out crying and using those vocals and expanding their lungs. That makes us smile and happy. We really hate it when they come out floppy or blue or not crying, not whimpering, not breathing well. Then we get super stressed out. We have all the opposite things happen that I'm going to describe right now. So what happens when a baby cries? It's hardwired. We are born to connect. The mother immediately has release of what's called oxytocin. And oxytocin, we used to think, oh, it's this hormone that just moms or women's produce in response to babies crying so that they can get ready to have their milk let down so they can, you know, feed the baby. They can breastfeed the baby. And that's one of the many, many things. We also know it's the same hormone that helps the uterus contract so that after you have the baby, that things clamp down and you don't lose too much blood and die from childbirth, because that used to happen quite a bit back in the old days, right? That's one of the reasons our lifespan was so short, is because a lot of both mothers would die in childbirth, usually from blood loss. Because I don't know if you know this, but literally a mother's quantity of blood doubles during the time that she's pregnant. And when she gives birth, there's a lot of blood. Like, she loses a lot of blood. And if that uterus doesn't clamp down and stop bleeding, she could die. And one of the things that helps that happen is this very same hormone, oxytocin, or they put it in an IV bag, they squirt it in there and they run that IV bag wide open. Pitocin is kind of the name you might hear bounced around, but it's oxytocin or pitocin. They put it in that IV bag and they give it to the mom to help the uterus contract so that she doesn't die from childbirth, because women did die at fairly high numbers years and years ago before we were able to help them with this. But one of the things that helps that happen is the baby's cry. So oxytocin from the first breath of life, that first baby's cry, helps the mom survive her childbirth by clamping down that uterus, helps her also prepare to connect with that baby with lactation, with breastfeeding, with that bonding that occurs. But guess what? Dudes have oxytocin too. And this oxytocin is literally the antithesis of that gnarly hormone, cortisol. So cortisol is amazing when you need it. When you're running from the lion or tiger and you're trying to stay alive, you need your cortisol. You need your epinephrine. You need your norepinephrine, the so-called adrenaline and noradrenaline. You need that stuff when your life is at stake. But what you don't need is that stuff to be activated each and every day, all day long, because of the extraneous stressors that are occurring in your life, whether they be real or potential stressors, or maybe not as real as they could be. Maybe they're a life threat. Maybe they're just not. Maybe it's just something we saw on social media that's getting us all in angst. But whatever that is, the antidote, literally the antidote, is this amazing hormone called oxytocin. Oxytocin literally is the anti-stress hormone. And it is released in response to social connection. From that first cry as a baby at childbirth, a cry, to literally hugging our kids, our friends, family, petting our favorite canine or feline friend, this same oxytocin gets released. And it is so darn beneficial. Like, if you could just bottle bottle this up and sell it, it would probably be the biggest blockbuster drug of all times. And you get to make it and release it naturally if you get some vitamin C for a connection. So wherever you are right now, give your friend, family member, husband, wife, kid, pet, partner, whatever, whoever's near you, give them a hug right now, and you will increase your resilience, your response to any kind of extraneous stress by increasing your very own oxytocin, which basically does the opposite of all those stress hormones like adrenaline, noradrenaline, cortisol. Instead of amping you up and tightening up those blood vessels, raising that blood pressure, it relaxes and lowers your blood pressure. It increases that amazing nervous system called the parasympathetic nervous system. You've heard of the vagus nerve, the VAG, US vagus nerve, what happens in Vegas. And this nerve does not stay in Vegas, the vagus nerve. It goes all throughout the entire body and helps you to get into that restful, beautiful, mindful Zen state, if you will. It literally, oxytocin helps get you there by activating this parasympathetic nervous system. And the main way to get it fired up and going is through connectedness, through relationships, through being with those people, your pets, those people that give you joy, that give you that connection, that belonging, the sense of belonging. And you, in turn, literally can have the antidote for stress. It's so cool. Oxytocin, it also increases GABA. You guys have heard of GABA, aminobutyric acid. It's an anxiolytic, if you will. It's anti-anxiety. You've heard of serotonin as well as dopamine. It has positive effects on these, which help us to have pleasure and joy in life. And when we're not having joy, I would say one of the first things I would consider doing is do something that will show connection. Whether maybe that's just reaching out to a friend, family member, somebody you haven't talked to in a while, sending them a quick text message, telling them how much you appreciate them, you're grateful for them, that you love them, that you are grateful for them being in your life. Or maybe it's doing a simple act of service, whatever that is. The other day it was super fun. Gosh, it was only a couple of days ago, but we were literally in 10 feet of snow. We were in Utah, and my kids and I shoveled what was almost a season's worth of snow off this elderly couple's deck a few miles away from where we were staying. And the joy that this brought to them was remarkable. They literally had not been able to shovel their deck the whole winter season. It was like melt, refreeze, we call it. And it was thick and icy and difficult. And thank goodness the sun was out that day. It was a beautiful day. And what allowed us to get this done was me and four boys and their brute strength. But we were shoveling this heavy snow, but it was a beautiful sunny day. They had an amazing view of the mountain from their deck. And it was actually like 50 degrees that day. And we so much wanted them to experience being able to go out on their deck and see their amazing view and to get outdoors. That it was challenging. We literally chipped away at this thing for a couple hours and got the deck clear so they could go outside on a 50-degree day and look at the magnificent view of the mountains. And that little act, for us, it was just a small thing. You know, we're able-bodied, got some shovels, we got it going on. I got four boys, they're all strapping young men, and we just went out there and had at it. And the joy that it brought them and us, honestly, we enjoyed being there. We enjoyed the view ourselves. We enjoyed being out in the sunshine, working our muscles of our body, muscle, right? The organ of longevity. We did all the things, but the smiles that it brought to their faces and knowing that they could then appreciate going outside and seeing this amazing view, that's what made it all worthwhile. So it's the simple things. If you're feeling down one day, think of just some simple act that you could do to reach out to somebody. I promise you, I know it sounds corny, it sounds cheesy, but it will change your whole approach. It will change. We spend so much time on these darn things. I'm showing you my phone here on YouTube, and we just get so wrapped up in that we forget that there's people out there that need us. There's people out there that could benefit from either a helping hand or just a kind word or just a smile or a simple act. And like I said, you could even do it on this silly device by sending somebody a text or a voice memo or a message just telling them that you love them, that you appreciate them. In fact, right when I get done recording this, I'm going to reach out to my stepmom who has metastatic cancer and things aren't going too well for her right now. And I chatted with her a few minutes the other day, but we got interrupted. We were in the middle of traveling and I didn't get to really, really, really finish the full conversation. So I'm going to call her. I just thought of her. In fact, I'm just writing that down so I can do that as soon as I'm done here, because I want her to know how much I love her and I appreciate her and how meaningful she is in my life. And I know she's really struggling. So think about somebody you can reach out to right now. And as soon as you're done listening here, you go out and do that, whether it be a quick text, quick phone call, voice memo, whatever. And I promise you, it will help them, but it will also help you. It's just cool, cool stuff. And this is physiologic. This is science. This is not some made up weird woo woo crystal thing. Like, it is real deal, physiologic, proven science. And that's what I love to share with you, is the proven science. In fact, I wanted to share with you, this was a book published by a medical doctor by the name of Edward Hallowell. He actually wrote a book in 1999, so maybe he was a little bit ahead of us 25 years ago. He wrote this book called Connect. That's it, just called Connect. And this was pre-social media, right? The internet had literally just kind of gotten started. He wrote this book called Connect, and he focused on how and why we need connection in our lives. And he says, quote, he defines it as feeling a part of something larger than yourself. This is Dr. Edward Hallowell. He wrote the book called Connect. And he says, connection is, quote, feeling a part of something larger than yourself, feeling close to another person or group, feeling welcomed and understood. And he says, a 5-minute conversation can make all the difference in the world if the parties participate actively. But to make it work, you have to set aside what you're doing. Put down the memo you were reading, put down the cell phone, disengage from your laptop, abandon your daydream. I actually added the cell phone part because they didn't have a lot of cell phones in those days. But abandon your daydream and bring your attention to here and to bear. Bring your attention to bear upon the person you are with. Usually when you do this, the other person or people will feel the energy and respond in kind naturally. So that's my hope, my wish, my goal for each and every one of you listening to today's show, is take a moment this weekend, Easter weekend, 2024, take a moment and connect with somebody, maybe that you haven't talked to, that you haven't reached out to in a little while, or even just go and hug a family member or a pet, or go for a walk with someone. Just take a few minutes to connect, and I promise you that will build you up, it will build them up, and the physiologic benefits are ridiculous. I'm just going to share with you really quick to close, because we're coming up on, I don't know, 49 minutes or whatever. I don't know what the exact time, but something like that. And there's literally been so many benefits, everything from decreasing heart disease, even decreasing obesity and body mass index. Diabetes has been shown to decrease with improved social connections. The A1C levels. Cancer patients. I'm reading this data by an article by Ingrid Bretson and colleagues, and it says cancer survivors, even of advanced stage disease. This is like my stepmom and my mother both have metastatic cancer. Advanced stage disease, who lived on average 11 years after their initial diagnosis. And they found the reasons that helped them the most, right here, the strong connections led to an increased desire to live. These cancer survivors recounted a more pleasurable experience when connection remained intact throughout their illness. Connection. There was also studies about metastatic breast cancer, and they found increased survival with those that had increased social connection. This last one I want to share, I thought it was really cool because I've talked about this amazing sort of anti-stress hormone, oxytocin, which we can get released through the simple hug that we can give a family member, friend, loved one, our pet even, go for a walk, what have you. This connectedness, this oxytocin that gets released, it's one of the best, most potent anti-stress hormones. Well, the converse is an inflammatory hormone that We all know that inflammation is literally at the root of almost every disease, and inflammation is not good. And inflammation can lead to all disease, whether it be cancer or diabetes or obesity or heart disease, neurodegenerative disease like Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, dementia. These things are all inflammatory. Well, guess what? Connection decreases inflammation. In fact, in this cool study, they were looking at women with cancer, specifically ovarian cancer, and levels of what's called interleukin 6, IL-6. And they, big surprise, found that those that had higher levels of interleukin 6, IL-6, had a poorer, a worse prognosis. No big surprise, right? Inflammation fuels all the bad stuff, fuels cancer, for example. However, it showed that the study supports the idea that one way to increase their survival is to increase and encourage connection among ovarian cancer patients. Having social connection not only allows ovarian cancer patients to feel better physically and in a functional well-being sort of way, but also it was shown to increase their protective mechanisms against cancer and lowering their cytokine IL-6, lowering their interleukin-6. Social connections lowered their interleukin-6. It lowered that inflammatory cytokine. It's been studied right here with women with ovarian cancer. This is real stuff. This is physiology. The cool thing, it is beautiful. It is so simple. You literally can get this stuff for free. You can get oxytocin through a hug, through a kind word, through a smile, through connecting with someone, or even your pet, your favorite canine or feline friend. Just connect with somebody or something today in a way that's positive, that brings you joy, and it can be that simple. So that's all I have for you today. I thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. It can be so simple. I shared with you a couple of my favorite C vitamins, but more importantly, the vitamin C for connection. It's simple, it's powerful. It's life-changing, and I hope you will get out there and connect with somebody today. That is my hope. That is my prayer. That is my joy on this beautiful Easter weekend, that you can go out and connect with someone. And I'd love to hear about it. Send me a note over there on Instagram at Dr. Thomas Hemingway. That's Dr. Thomas Hemingway. Look for that little blue check mark. I just got that up and running recently. And Dr. Thomas Hemingway, I'm there. Facebook, Thomas Hemingway, MD. The podcast, of course, Unshakable Health. Make sure you're sharing that. Make sure you're dropping me a note. Please rate it. Hit that 5-star over to the right and then just type a little something. I promise you that will light up my day. It keeps me fired up to do this, even on a Saturday, even on a holiday weekend. I am here for you, and be following along because I have some amazing, super cool stuff coming that you won't want to miss out. I have a new program coming up here really soon that I'm in the process of finishing up. It's so powerful. It's so, oh, just thinking about it makes me smile. If you're watching on YouTube, I am smiling from ear to ear. I just want to help you optimize your health and your life and to thrive, not just simply survive life. So until next time, a big aloha.